Next on our agenda is a financial report from our interim vice president and chief financial officer and comptroller, Avijit Ghosh. As you know, Avijit, he's kind of our go-to guy. He's always willing to put on a new hat, take on a new challenge for the university. We're very grateful, Avijit. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, before I begin my presentation, I hope you'll give me the liberty of just taking a second to echo, as the member of the faculty of the College of Business at Urbana, I want to sort of echo what you and the chair and the president said, and share the excitement that we have in this renaming of the college. In 2004, I came before this board with the request to change the name of the college from College of Commerce, what it used to be then, to College of Business. But I think this renaming sort of completes that transition in a beautiful way. Thank you. So you're going to hear three financial presentations today. The primary focus of my presentation now is on the summary of our financial results from FY fiscal year 17, which ended on June 30th. Later on, you'll hear about our budget for fiscal year 18 and our request to IBHE for fiscal year 19. So just to sort of get to a very quick summary, we ended the year, fiscal year 17, with a modest $53 million increase in our net position. But this compares, on the other hand, to a decline of $276 million in fiscal year 2016. As you will recall, in fiscal year 16, we received only $181 million in state appropriation, which, of course, was a very significant reduction from the previous fiscal year. I should note that for fiscal year 17, our state appropriation amounted to $355 million, although the legislature did appropriate additional funds for fiscal year 17. In accordance with the GRASB accounting rules, those funds are not counted here, since it was the legislation was actually enacted after the fiscal year ended. So here's a brief of financial summary. As you will see, the sort of our income before interest, depreciation, sorry, I'm not sure this is. Well, the income before interest, depreciation, and other items was about $309 million or $310 million, from which we paid depreciation of $262 million and interest expenses of $65 million. And then we had some capital grants and some other revenues, but ended up with a change in net position of $52 million, or close to 53, okay? How does that compare to previous years? You can see last year we had a negative net position change. And as a ratio of the change to our net position at the beginning of the fiscal year, this year we did about 1.2%, which, as you see, is much lower than the past, and something I expect to improve as we move forward into this in this fiscal year. For AA-rated universities with AA rating, this ratio is about 4.8%, and I'm confident that years looking ahead, we can reach that number. So this shows us a distribution of our revenues. This is not counting the payments on behalf, which is about $1.6 billion. For the operating side of it, you can see tuition, patient care, and research grants comprise about 70% of our revenues. And then we have the auxiliary enterprises and others. The state appropriation, as I mentioned before, it's about $355 million, which is about 8% of our operating revenue without counting the payments on behalf. Just some highlights of the changes that took place between FY, the previous year, from 2016 Tuition revenue grew by 45%. State appropriation, we have talked about. Tuition revenue grew by 4%, which is about $45 million. And it's important to point out that, as was mentioned earlier, that undergraduate in-state tuition has been frozen. So this reflects some growth in enrollment, as well as some modest increases in graduate and out-of-state tuition. Okay. Research grants grew by about $50 million last year. So it's a 7% gain to almost $1 billion, $908 million. Patient care, there was a very significant increase in patient care revenues by about $100 million, which takes it to, and then private gifts. Private gifts grew by about 20%, about $30 million from FY16 to FY17. And it's just a reflection of the focus that is being placed on campaigns and donations. And I expect that as we move ahead with our campaign, that number is going to grow even faster.
Yes. What characterizes a gift such that it's in the 2016 financials? In other words, is that part of our revenues in the prior slide you showed that said this are revenues? So, but 190, does that come from gifts from the foundation to the schools for that operating year? In other words, if someone gives $1 million to the foundation, it wouldn't be in that number,
no,
right?
This is the spending portion.
From
what
the
is
foundation.
Being spent from those gifts. Okay. During the fiscal year, what was spent as a gift. Then payments on behalf did increase by 21%, and mostly due to changes, actual changes, which affects the liability portion of those payments. Oh, sorry. Can you take over from there? This is not working.
Just one.
This graph shows sort of the growth in our major revenue sources on a five-year time frame. It is using 2013 as the base, that's the 100, and then showing the annual growth for 5 years. So if you look at the tuition, there's a steady growth in tuition, again, despite the fact that tuition for undergraduate tuition has not improved. You can see the patient care revenue really increased in the last 2 years, especially in the 2017, as I pointed out. Research grant, you can see the growth in 2017 over 2016. Now, I should point out that 2013 was a sort of a high watermark for research, because in 2013, you had some of the Blue Water Fund, the operating fund, still coming in that year, as well as was a tail end of some of the stimulus programs and ERA funding. So that was a high watermark, so that's why you see the lower dip, but we were starting to catch up to that number again. Okay. State appropriation, we have talked about, and then private gifts. You can see the very significant increases that have been happening since 2013. So this shows the revenue by the different units, by the different universities. Chicago, including the UIC hospital, is about 49%, comprised of 49%. And then Urbana is about 47% of the total revenues. And Springfield and the system each account for about 2% each of those revenues. I also wanted to share with you sort of the two major academic revenue sources that we have, not counting the patient care side, is the tuition and fees and research grants, and the breakdown of that by the different units. Tuition and both of those, Urbana, you know, campus comprises about 64% to 65%, and the Chicago campus about 32% to 35%, with Springfield 3% of the tuition revenues and 1% of the grant revenues. Okay, so it gives you a distribution.
Um,
Now, moving from the revenue side to the expense side, the four major categories of expenses that we've shown here, compensation and benefits account for 53%, a little over half of all our expenses. Then supplies and services are a major portion there. And then student aid, that's obviously, this is our focus on trying to keep affordability for students. So student aid becomes is a very important aspect. Last year, we spent about $300 million on student aid. Okay. Just as we saw the growth in, five-year growth in the revenues, I wanted to share five-year growth terms with on our expense side. If you see, compensation and benefits grew last year compared to 16, but 16 was actually, we went down in 2016. And one of the results for that growth is after about 2 years, we did a salary program in 2017 that accounts for part of the growth. And part of the growth is also the enlarged activities in the patient care area and the research area that leads to higher compensation. Supplies and services, I think it's important to point out that we've sort of stabilized those costs and actually went down in 2017. And this is going to be a continued focus on sort of trying to be prudent in our spending and be efficient in our spending. Student aid, I've already mentioned to you, continued focus on providing aid to enhance affordability. This is a slightly different way of looking at our expenses, different classifications of the category of expenses. That's used by a number of national organizations. There's still some lack of clarity into these classifications. What I want to point out really is the institutional support line, this is probably most akin to your overhead cost. Okay, there's still some questions about how exactly everything goes in there, but it's most akin to your overhead cost, so we're trying to control those costs as we move forward. I wanted to touch briefly on state receivables and cash position. This is something I know the board has always been interested in and wants to keep an eye on it. As of the end of October 31st, the end of the last month, our state receivable was about $409 million. As you can see, from the General Reserve Fund, we really haven't received any of the funding from the General Reserve Fund. And Educational Assistance Fund, we are getting regular funding, but it's not completely, not 100% of what is being billed, but we are getting periodic funding from that fund. Okay. As the 409, actually, as of last night, that number has increased to 429. But as you are aware, the state has issued the $6 billion worth of bonds. So we are expecting now those funds to start flowing, especially the GRF funds, to start flowing into the coffers. One of the things we've been starting to look at now are a process of looking at our days of cash in hand. So this is the days of cash in hand on the end of the fiscal year for the last 5 years. You can see in 2015, we had 188 days of cash in hand, and the last 2 years we have been lower than that, significantly lower because of the receivables and the appropriation issue. We've also been tracking cash in hands on a monthly basis, and you can see how the improvement we have seen as tuition funds come in and some state funds come in. The improvement we've seen, we're about 195 days of cash in hand at the end of October. And this is something, given the uncertainty of state funding and the receivable fundings for us, this is something we need to sort of keep our eye on. You know, the Big Ten average for cash in hand is about 185 days, the best we can see. But again, the Moody's A rating median is over 210 days of cash in hand. And given our particular situation of uncertainty with state funding, this is something we hope to keep our eye on as we move forward. Going forward, I think there are a number of issues we have to deal with as we move forward, because if we look at what's in the horizon, one of the things we know what's in the horizon is the shift in pension cost. It is already starting for new employees from next year. There will be some shift that's going to happen in FY18, when for new employees we expect that shift will happen in FY19. Initially, because it's only for new employees, initially that number might look small, but it will start growing very quickly. So we have to start looking at how we sort of organize our budgets, how we organize our finances to be able to meet that additional cost burden that's going to come to us. Secondly, as the President mentioned, we have a very aggressive and ambitious building plan. And given that there has been a lack of state capital appropriation for the past many years now, that's another item that we need to be able to build into how we rebuild our capital from physical capital and our infrastructure. Okay. Then there are other major capital items that are coming in IT and other areas. So we are going to be looking very carefully at how to restructure our financial expectations to be able to build those elements into our budgets. Okay. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Questions or comments?
Avijit, on the financials that you showed us about the net position at the end of the year, and you want to get to, you know, used to be 12%, then went negative, now it's 1%. Where are our capital expenditures in that financial presentation? In other words, we have revenues, we have operating expenses, and we have depreciation. Depreciation is often a proxy for capital expenditures, whether it's a nonprofit or a company. But in our case, where are they shown there, or are they on are they sort of separate in a cash flow statement?
It's not a separate schedule. It is included in there because a lot of our capital now is getting spent from our operational.
So it's in those operating
expenses? It's in the operating lines.
Okay. All right.
Other comments or questions?
I have another comment I'd like to make, which is thank you, Avijit. It's a very good presentation. There's a couple comments I've been talking to everyone about individually I'd like to just highlight, which is one is I think this pension cost shift issue is something that the Board of Trustees needs to start to actively engage in because it's already coming from a legislative standpoint. And I think when we look at our numbers and you realize that one point, a lot of our numbers are net of the so-called payments on behalf taken out of our revenues and taken out of our expenses. When you look at all of our ratios with that in it, in terms of what level of state support we get and where are our ratios, et cetera, it's a different picture. And if that is going to be shifted over time, which I think we have to plan for, and it's already somewhat in the legislation that new employees are going to be shifted to us, I think we have to start to engage in that issue at the trustee level more than we have in the past. And then secondly, I think that it's just critical to understand that those financials are inclusive of four operating units, including a large healthcare company, which many universities don't have. So again, in a comparison to other ratios, we have $1 billion organization in healthcare, or is that right?
Yeah, it's just about
$1 billion plus. Yeah. Which, again, when we look at our comparisons, ratios, et cetera, in my opinion, the board should engage more in the financials at the healthcare company level and at each university level. And that's something that I've been talking to the president about and Avijit about, and something I'd like the board to start to engage more in.
Thank you, Don. Thanks, Avijit.
Thank you
very much.